Welcome to Entrepreneur Eats, a conversation about business and community with a side of eats. My name is Deanna Smith, and I'm your host. We are going to be talking about David Ross today. Hello, David Ross.
Deanna, it's a pleasure to be with you today.
I'm very curious about your history. I know that you have a very rich history in journalism. How did you get started?
Well, I was in high school, and I got interested in journalism at high school in Ramona. I went to Ramona High School and got on the school newspaper, which was called the Dog Tales, because the name of the sports team there was the Bulldogs. And so I got interested in writing that and became the editor of the high school paper, and then the hometown newspaper where I was at, the Ramona Sentinel, they got interested in having me write sports for them, and I'd go to the football games and the basketball games, and then I went to work for them and worked on the press and for many years, just kind of did odd things for them, some little bit of writing, but went to Palomar College, was the editor of the Telescope newspaper, which the paper's still over there, and so just kind of drifted into newspapering that way. I never actually, I mean, I took newspaper journalism courses in college, mm-hmm. but never actually got a degree in it until, like, in my 50s when I went back to school to actually get a degree and got one in communications.
Back in high school, when you started, mm-hmm. Was it just a natural interest for you, and did you just have a natural way about reporting and gathering information?
Well, you know, it's something you have to kind of, just have to kind of teach yourself. And I'm sure that if I would find some of those old newspapers that are 50 years old or longer, older, that I would be appalled at how terrible the writing was. Because I think that whoever said that you have to write a million words of garbage before you can even, you know, consider yourself to be a good writer is probably the case. You know, I think you just have to teach yourself how to do it and just keep doing it until you get better at it.
Right. But what was the first thing that sparked your interest? Like, you could have done a lot of things, and like, you could have gone to the agricultural department or whatever, but you chose.
I was kind of an extrovert, and I was always, but also bookish, and I was always, you know, reading and so forth. And so people that are readers can often be drawn into writing, you know. Sure. And so you imitate the people that you love. And you know, I love, like, say, Mark Twain. And so I fancied myself as being, you know, the high school Mark Twain. And I, you know, get myself in trouble and write about how I think I got myself in trouble for writing once about how the football coach was favoring certain players.
Wow, very risque.
Yeah.
And so you have to be a social butterfly / Tom Sawyer.
Well, but I didn't ask anybody to paint my fence. And so that's how I got into journalism. When the newspaper in Ramona was sold, I was so appalled at the people that bought it that I helped start another paper to compete against them when I was in my 20s, at the same time that I was working at the local 7-Eleven, and it was, you know, so it just kind of trained myself that way. Mm-hmm. And I at one time I tried to, you know, after I kind of made a name for myself being kind of rebellious up there, and I tried to get a job at the Escondido Times Advocate when it existed back then. And a friend of mine who worked there, he says, oh, the editor said he wouldn't hire you if you were the last blankety-blank journalist on earth. So,
well, at least you knew exactly who you were.
Yeah. And so eventually I was called in to help out the owner of the Valley Roadrunner in Valley Center, who needed to get neck surgery. And so they brought me in to just be the temp for him for a few weeks, and that, you know, I'm still there 40 years later.
You're talking about your reputation preceded you in many cases.
Uh-huh.
What stories, or what was there a series of stories, or was there one story that just blasted you into everybody knew David Ross?
I don't think any one story ever blasted me into everybody knowing me. I mean, I just kind of, when I was younger, I was more brash, and I was covering some water district in Valley Center, and I could be a bit of a pest, you know, and if, like, you know, I'd call somebody at home or something and bug them, and I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. I have long learned that you know, you don't burn your sources, and you, I'm still persistent, but you know, you get more by being polite to people and not burning them, and so, you know, if somebody tells me that something's off the record, it's off the record, but you better not tell me that at a public meeting, which I've had people do. A lot of people don't understand what the rules are, and they'll, you know, like, they'll say something that they realize is embarrassing right off, and they'll look over and say, well, that's off the record. I'll say, well, you better not say it at a public meeting because it ain't off the record.
What are the basic rules of journalism?
You know, you have to, if you're dealing with people that don't know what they're doing, you kind of talk them through it, and you know, and if you're interviewing somebody in your office or something, and they say something, and say, "Oh, I better not say that because, you know, I'll get in trouble." No, that's fine. You know, public officials, they need to know what the rules are, and the rules are that if you say it, then sure, if you say ahead of time, "I'm going to tell you something's off the record," then I will honor that. But if I hear about it from somebody else, then that's not going to, you know, the fact that they said, "Well, you can't use this," okay. But if I hear about it, you know, from somebody else, then I'm going to use it.
So what do you think is essential when you're dealing with interviewees and keeping their confidence and making sure they're comfortable? How do you make them comfortable? Because reporters and journalists have a certain stigma about them. That
yeah, a lot of them do, for taking advantage of people. You know, I'm thinking specifically of when Connie Chung years ago was interviewing Newt Gingrich's mother, and she asked him, "What do you think of so-and-so?" And she says, "Oh, I better not say." He said, "Oh, well, it's just between you and me." And of course, it was on television. And, you know, and that's tricking people, and that's not fair. I think that I try to be conversational. I try to be just kind of put people at ease, you know, that. But I also warn people, you know, that if you're going to bring me into this, say that, you know, say, "Well, I need to tell you this story." Well, first of all, you need to go on the record, because I rarely, if ever, use anonymous sources, you know, and there are a lot of people that want journalists and newspapers to stick their neck out so that they can say stuff, and then the newspaper, you know, takes the flack for it. And I don't like being manipulated, and I don't like being used to, you know, obviously, if somebody contacts a newspaper and they say they want a story, they have their reasons. And sometimes, though, I will tell people, you know, you bring me into it, you're letting the genie out of the bottle, and you can't put the genie back into the bottle. So, you know, you have to understand that there may be consequences.
So then there's a whole lot of ethics in play here. And have you been in a situation where you had a story, it could have been fabulous, and you chose not to run it?
Sometimes, and that usually involves if you can't confirm things. Like, you know, it's really hard to do stories involving schools and, like, kids. You know, like, just as an example, is that if a school employee says something about their employment with a school, well, they can say whatever they want to, and the school is pretty much prevented by the law from defending themselves. And so that's always a challenge, because I don't kind of believe that people should just get free shots without, you know, in a case like that, you contact the school district knowing that they're going to say, well, that's a personnel matter. We can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know? And so there are some ethical things there. There's ethical things involving children. And we get a lot of people who, where we will, for instance, have a car accident on Facebook, you know, and they will say, well, how dare you do that? I mean, the person who's in that accident feels so bad, and you know, it's their business. Well, no, if you have a car accident on a public street, it's everybody's business. Yes. And you know, can scream all you want about how your privacy is being invaded, but, you know, you get into your car, you're kind of giving up your privacy. But if you end up going to the hospital, I won't be able to find out anything about it because of HIPAA. It used to be that we would get weekly lists of the babies that were born at Palomar Hospital. And so we would put birth announcements in the paper. They stopped doing that because, privacy laws, and they can't release information about patients.
So tell me about how technology has made your life easier and also more difficult in
journalism.
Well,
when I first started off in the newspaper, we carved the newspaper onto a big flat rock and with a chisel. Yeah. No, it wasn't quite that bad, but that was the introduction of the age of computers into newspapering. And when I first got into the profession, the paper that I was at in Ramona was actually more technologically advanced than the Union Tribune.
Really?
Which was actually the Union and the Tribune.
How so?
Well, because to change the technology was so expensive, and so we used a process called offset printing, which is what most people use now. But like at the UT, they were using big slabs of lead that were using a process to put the images onto the lead, and they would have four colors, and so you would if a piece of if paper was run through a printing press, it would have to run through four different things to if you were it was going to be in color.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the introduction of offset printing, that once that spread to everybody, it made it to where basically, the introduction of, desktop publishing, basically, and to where somebody could put together a newspaper on their computer. But when I first got into it, we were working on very primitive computers, and so we would, print off lines of columns of printing, and we would paste them using hot wax onto images onto big paper flats that were the same size as the newspaper, and that was called laying out the newspaper, and we did that for many years. And you would take the flats down to a printer, and they would take pictures of it using a giant camera. And then they would use a process for burning the images onto a metal plate. And so so when I first started professionally in the newspaper business, it was, we were using computers to an extent. And I have to say that computers kind of saved my writing because, I could write on a typewriter, and I actually wrote my first book mainly on a typewriter. But because I was such a perfectionist and I had to rewrite and rewrite and rewrite, and if it hadn't been for a computer coming along to save me, I'd still probably be working on the book now.
Not a whole lot of people listening now even know what a typewriter is.
I know that there are still writers that do it that way, and there are still writers that do it in longhand.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
I know that's it's just a process. In my own case, using the keyboard is kind of part of the process of actually thinking it onto the page.
It helps with the creativity.
Right. You know, the original printing press was a very slow process, and it was only in the early 1900s that they started using the thing of making the linotype, where they would actually take pieces of metal that were, you know, you'd have one for an A and a B and all of the other things that you use in the alphabet, and that was a much slower process.
I'm so curious. Do you have a memorable story that you just felt like, oh my gosh, this is an incredible story, and I'm so excited that it's you are reporting it?
Well, I mean, I guess maybe the one time I won a Best of Show award from both the Press Club and the Society of Professional Journalists, it was for the same story, so I guess it must have been good. And it was where there was a fire going on up in Valley Center, and I think it was on a street called Yellow Brick Road. Mm-hmm. And so the firefighters said, well, if you want to see something interesting, we're going to have the family shelter in place, and we're going to position our firefighters to where we are spraying the house with water while the fire sweeps through. And hopefully if it works, nobody's going to die, you know. And I mean, they didn't put it that way, but that was the way my mind was putting it. And they said, you want to sit in on it? You want to be there? And I, you know, thought, well, yeah, hopefully I won't die. And so I was sitting there, you know, the family was there, the kids were there, the pets were there, the cat and the dog were kind of, you know, walking around very nervously because the home was getting smoky. And and so fire swept through, house was untouched, family was okay, I was okay, and so I wrote a story based on that. And I didn't realize until later that I had written the story without putting myself into it. You know, that I didn't say, well, I was sitting here and there was this, you know, I just kind of wrote it about the family and everything. Mm-hmm. And so you wouldn't have known that I was actually there, except that I knew what happened. And so that the title of it was like The Angel of Fire Passes Over a House and Leaves It Untouched. I'd maybe say that one of my more memorable experiences was during the 2007 fire, where we actually did a live, kind of a live running commentary on the fires. Not commentary like what we're doing here, but we had a you know, websites were kind of new, and so was casting, and so we had a running commentary, and where I was like staying up all the time, and people would phone in stuff to me, and as to, you know, and we'd get, you know, somebody would say, well, is the fire in Valley Center, you know, or is the fire on such and such a block? And I'd say, well, there is no fire in Valley Center right now. Yeah, but what about that particular block? Well, by definition, if it isn't in Valley Center, it's not at that place. And so, you know, people were asking questions, and we had people following us in Australia and stuff like that. And so it was, that kind of got to me, actually, because I, you know, kind of felt like people were relying on me to tell them things. And I had my spies in Valley Center that would, you know, maybe they weren't supposed to be there, but they would tell me stuff. And so that kind of, memorable for me, maybe not for anybody else.
Sure.
The most memorable, probably, person that I ever met was Buzz Aldrin, and I ended up writing a story about it. I wrote a couple of science fiction novels in my late 20s, and I had an agent, and we were at a convention, and the agent says, "Oh, you want to meet Buzz Aldrin?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." You know, and he was his agent too, because they were doing a book. And So I got to spend like about 15, 20 minutes with him, and that was a big deal for me.
Wow, that would be a big deal for anyone. In all of your experience and going through your history, the David Ross back then and the David Ross now, what would David Ross now tell new journalists how to be a journalist in this day and age?
Well, I think that if you're going into journalism because you want to change the world, that's the wrong reason. You know, become a social worker, run for office, become a sheriff or something, although that's not really changing the world. That's helping to preserve the world as it is. But, I mean, I don't think that the purpose of newspaper reporters or editors or anything is to change anything. It's just to report on what's happening and let people make up their own minds. And to, you know, certainly it is to uncover things that people think should be kept secret, if that's appropriate. I mean, I'm not going to say there are some things that shouldn't be kept secret, because obviously there should be. You know, I mean, and the government has a right to do that, to protect themselves more than anything. I mean, it's there are reasons why you know, the city council has closed sessions to talk to their attorneys and so forth. But, you know, most of the time when some government person tells you, well, I can't tell you that, you know, my ears pop up and I kind of think, well, you know, public probably has a right to know about this.
And how do you decide as a journalist or a news reporter? How do you decide?
Well, I guess, you know, you look back on past history. I mean, you know, you can usually find, you know, there's like the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun. And so people have been trying to keep secrets forever. And you can just kind of look on your past and say, well, in the past, when somebody tried to keep something like this a secret, maybe they kept a secret for a while, but it got out eventually. And, you know, usually, at least government officials, they're not keeping secrets for the public good. They're keeping secrets because they want to avoid embarrassment. Don't figure you're going to make a lot of money. Because unless you get really, really good at it, and unless you get really famous, you know, those people, it's kind of the same sort of scenario as, well, I like to play basketball, and I think I'm good enough to where I'm going to be in the major leagues. Well, probably not, you know. And so if you're going to be a reporter, if you can't imagine yourself not doing that, then that's probably a good job for you. Because, you know, you can find ways to make a living as a reporter. They don't make that much money anymore, but, you know, there are, you know, you can go do Substacks, you can, you know, work for an actual paper like I do, or you can get into broadcasting. If you can't imagine a day or more than a couple of days where you're not writing, then you may be cut out to be a newspaper person.
So what's next? After all of this, will you always be a journalist? Will you always be a writer? Is there anything else that you want to do?
Yeah, I think I enjoy what I do, and that's part of it. Is it's actually fun, and it's there's a lot of variety to it. You know, it's seldom repetitive, and there's always something interesting going on, and it's not monotonous. I mean, it's fun to look for. You know, interesting people to interview. I mean, I have one of the most varied jobs in the world, which is that, you know, I might be watching a city council meeting. I might be talking to somebody who's opened an interesting restaurant. Maybe I go get to try out some of their food. Maybe I get to write about somebody doing a movie here in town, or you know, meeting somebody who walked on the moon. It's varied. I rarely get bored.
Earlier you mentioned you're going to have lunch somewhere, and you have been there before, and you would make this recommendation. Tell me about this place.
It's a place on Valley Parkway called the Old World Meat Market, and they recently opened a restaurant, and I've written about them a couple of times. I put them in the Escondido magazine, and I was going to introduce a friend of mine to their food. It's you know, obviously vegetarians and vegans probably are not going to want to go.
Okay.
But it's really good food, and not every day, but often they will have ribs, both beef and pork. But mainly they're kind of based on sausages. Way I understand it's kind of a Serbian kind of a recipe is the way I understand it.
And it sounds nice. Delicious.
Yeah, it's very tasty stuff. So I would highly recommend that.
It's on my list. I'm going to go there. Well, thank you, Mr. Ross. It was a pleasure having you on Entrepreneur Eats. And I look forward to your next adventures and your articles.
Thank you, Dan. It was a pleasure to sit down and chat with you.